African Liberty joins our friends across the world to mourn the passing of Linda Whetstone. She was a crucial contributor to the development of AfricanLiberty.org from its founding in 2007. Many of the young freedom advocates currently on the African Liberty team came into contact with the philosophy of freedom through some of Linda's many direct and indirect outreaches. This audio tape is an unpublished oral history account she granted me, Ibrahim Anoba, and my colleague, Feishade Adeyemi, on May 14, 2020. Linda explains how she became involved with the freedom movement and chronicles her involvement in promoting this movement throughout Africa. But first, a tribute from some of those she inspired and mentored. Magat Wade, Director, Center for African Prosperity at the Atlas Network.
Our community and our movement lost its matriarch. It's very much the way it feels. Linda Whetstone, who's not only a great mentor, really wonderful inspiration. I just will never forget how much she crisscrossed the earth, taking the message of freedom and dignity for every and each human being.
Dennis Foretia, Executive Chairman, Nkafu Policy Institute.
It's really heartbreaking. Just remembering the vibrant conversations we had in Miami. She was a major, major champion of liberty, support for African think tanks, support for Nkafu, helping all of us be better and do a better job.
Linda Kavuka, Director of Africa Programs, Students for Liberty.
As my colleagues from around the world, I am so saddened by the passing of Linda Whetstone. She is behind the success of the libertarian community here in Africa. She personally held our hands throughout our entire journeys as we try to advocate for the ideas of liberty back home.
Oluwafemi Ogunjobi, Africa Programs Manager, Students for Liberty.
So sad to hear of Linda's demise. She was a truly remarkable woman who gave young liberals a strong footing and provided them with the resources to flourish and make a difference for the rest of their lives.
Olumayowa Okediran, Director of Programs, Students for Liberty.
Linda Whetstone was a big supporter of the ideas of liberty around the world, as well as in Africa. She supported many students and alumni in their projects to establish think tanks and promote the ideas of liberty across the continent.
Chukwuemeka Ezeogo, Global African Christians for Liberty Initiative.
Linda Whetstone was a bastion of hope for many libertarian think tanks in Africa because she understood where we're coming from and did not make it difficult for us to have access to her. We will surely miss her.
Feishade Adeyemi, Founder, Chale Institute.
It is with deep regret that I learned about the passing on of Linda Whetstone, one of the most powerful advocates of liberty on earth during her time here. I and the Chale Institute have benefited from her work through the Network for a Free Society, Atlas Network, and other organizations.
Okay, thank you, Linda, for joining us for this meeting. My name again is Ibrahim Anoba. And the purpose of this meeting is to collect Linda's recollection, sort of our oral history of our impact in the freedom movement in Africa. And I have Linda's permission to record this meeting. So, Linda, I want to start off by, first of all, asking you how you came in contact with the idea of, first of all, how do you identify? Because during the course of interviewing a couple of people, especially from the African continent, like George Ayite and Franklin Kudjo, a lot of them do not, actually
want to identify as libertarian or classical liberal. Aiyte, for instance, wouldn't even want to use the word liberal. So I think it will be courteous of us to, first of all, ask, how do you identify?
I'm just not particular about those sort of things. I just don't think it's important. I mean, I'm a liberal, not in the American sense.
In the classical sense, great.
I believe in a free society. I believe that human flourishing is, humans are much more likely to flourish in a free society. And therefore, I'm interested in how you create free societies and the effect that it has.
Interesting. So having said that, so the next question is, how
classical liberal, if you want to classify me, I'm happy with that.
I guess. So the next question is, how did you get involved in the movement? First of all, we understand your dad, Anthony Fisher, of course, is one of the perhaps the major forerunner in this whole classical liberal movement in the West. But how did you get involved, Akwede, with the classical liberal or liberal movement itself?
Well, obviously, I was living with my dad, and I mean, we all used to tease him actually, because it was the only thing he thought about. I mean, he'd seen his brother killed in front of him in the Second World War. His dad had been killed in the First World War, and all he could see was the communists were coming. And they did look as if they were coming. Then they were expanding, you know, all over what was the Soviet Union, and the situation was really, really bad. So it was all he thought about. We used to call him Chairman Mao when he got his little red book out, which was not very polite. But anyway, I learned a lot from him. And then I watched as the IEA got started. And I was interested in these things. I actually got married quite young. I did my degree after I got married, and then I had some economic knowledge. And then I was with him at one of the first things I was at was at the Montpellier meeting in Oxford. That was in 1959. So I began to meet the Hayeks and those sort of people then. And they came to stay with us. I mean, I can remember having breakfast with Hayek and Buchanan. I knew really all of them. They were all extremely friendly. And so one was listening to these things. And I could, of course, have gone the other way, but I had great respect for my father. And it never occurred to me to sort of challenge the ideas. And then the IEA in 1955, and I can remember going up there and making the tea and being with Arthur and being with Ralph. And then when I did my degree, after I did that, Arthur got me to write something on the milk marketing board. And then bringing up the children, I didn't do so much of it, but I kept in touch with it. And then it really got going much more when Julian Morris, I don't know if he worked for Reason, and before that he ran the International Policy Network. And he was at the Institute of Economic Affairs, and he was running their climate unit. I wasn't quite called that. And he wanted to start his own organization, the International Policy Network. And John Blundell said, well, why don't you get Linda as the chairman? And we had this, it wasn't quite a shell organization. My father started it when he was alive, Atlas UK, and it sort of matched Atlas US. And if he got money in England, he put one in the UK pot. And if it was US, he put it in the US pot. And when he died, people put some money into it. And I ran that. Well, he died in 88. Of course, in the meantime, he'd started Atlas, and I'd been very interested in that. So I got more and more interested in these things. And then I began working with the International Policy Network, which had really interesting things it was doing. And I started doing their educational stuff and learned a lot from Julian. how to do these things. And that was when I had the idea of the CD. And it started literally when I think I said in what I wrote that I'd always slightly arrogantly thought, why is it that people in Africa and Asia don't get why it is that countries in the West, for want of a better term, people tend to be better off, there's less poverty. Don't they know about, well, I assumed everyone knew about people like Smith. And then when James Shikwati appeared, and he said there are no books, and James Shikwati was teaching somewhere in Kenya, And after he finished teaching, he would run quite a long way and get on a bus and get somewhere where he could talk to Leonard Reed, and where he could read things that Fee had, because online was possible then. And then he got, I can't remember how I got in touch with him, maybe through Atlas, maybe I got in touch with him and put him in touch with US Atlas. And, you know, he said, there are no books, Linda, there is absolutely nothing in Africa that you can teach these ideas from. And that really got me going. And I thought, this has to be, we have to change this. And so we were working with James. We funded him, Atlas UK, to leave his country school. And he came to Nairobi and set up, well, he helped him set up his think tank. And I thought he really was a classical liberal, but it turned out that, in fact, he wasn't really. But the organisation is still going. And I looked, and a free human mind is the ultimate capital, which is Julian Simon. So I think he was the first one that I got involved with. But before that, there was the wonderful Leon Lowe. And I'd met him at the Mont Pelerin Society meetings. So I'd known him for quite a long time before this sort of, this new generation of Africans became involved in classical liberalism. And Leon was, I mean, he is almost an anarchist and very principled. Have you ever met Leon Lowe? No. And he'd set up the Free Market Foundation and was fighting apartheid and was really quite a lone voice. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, I think, possibly 5 times for his work, never got it. And he's obviously still there and still really a big influence. But I feel that there was a totally new generation of younger Africans that came in the 90s and since then. And I wouldn't say gone round Leon and the Free Market Foundation, but sort of it all happens differently in Students for Liberty and everything else. And then at the same sort of time, there was, I'm talking about the meeting in Nairobi when I decided I was going to run. I had no idea what I was starting out on, a Mont Pelerin Society meeting in Nairobi, and I got permission to do it. I had no idea. It would then be up to me to raise all the money and do everything. And James was doing the work on the ground, Aaron and the people who work for Aaron. And I think that was quite a big moment for classical liberalism in Africa, 2007. And I have got all the documents about that. I've got the lists of who came. I've got all of the talks. I've got the schedule. So I think I put there. I remember the program. And we were 100 or so, and I'd raised the money for 20 Africans to be fellows that we could pay for it for them. And there are quite a few names in there that one would remember, amongst whom was Franklin. And Franklin, I asked all of the Africans I knew to recommend 10 others, I think. And Franklin brought friends with him. And I think he's been very, very successful and influential in thinking in Africa, obviously more in Ghana. And he was involved in, I get muddled, I think I'll go through the way I've written it. There's a man called Ayanda Kumala. I don't know if you ever met him, chairman of the Free Market Foundation. He spoke at the meeting in Nairobi, and quite extraordinarily strong on private enterprise, free economies. It would be great if people could get him to come and talk sometime to younger people. I thought he was absolutely inspiring. And that was, but I mean, that was by then, it was 2007. So getting more modern. After the MPS, we started the Google group, Africa Club, and Franklin was a main player in that. And it was really, really active and kept everyone together. But then Facebook came along and, of course, was really much more successful, and the Africa Club died out. Someone else in the early days, Thompson Ayodele, and he started an organization, the Initiative for Public Policy Analysis. But he's been studying in Canada and he's stopped doing that. Franklin, of course, hasn't stopped at all. And he was involved in running SciParla, which I talk about, which I think, again, was very influential. It was a very sought after to get to SciParla. And I think it was a 5-day, 3-day meeting. Atlas funded it when there was some really serious talking done on the ideas of classical liberalism. And Anne Bernstein, I don't know if you've come across her, CEO of Center for Development and Enterprise in South Africa. She again wouldn't think of herself as part of a movement, probably not as a classical liberal, but I mean, she absolutely is a classical liberal. And she got, I mean, she was funded by the Templeton Foundation. And when I went out there as a Templeton advisor, I met her again there. I mean, she's very sound thinking, and through their writing and their studies, I'm sure must have had an influence. June Arunga, another young African, who unfortunately again hasn't taught or got involved, but she was, when she was really very young, 2019, she was very inspiring, still very inspiring. And she was given a film crew, two of them, by the BBC. And she made a wonderful film called The Devil's Footprint. And it was her journey through Africa. I mean, as I say, I'm sure she wasn't 20. And looking at all of the things that were happening. And with a really good analysis from a market perspective. And that would have been, I suppose, June, is she 40 now, 20 years ago? So where would that be? 2000, something like that. Adedeo came on my radar screen after the MPS meeting, I think probably through Tom Palmer, I'm not certain. And NFS supported him until he got into Parliament. I don't know when that was. And when I looked yesterday through my old emails, I mean, he did dozens of interviews. Not interviews. He did absolutely dozens of. I'm just thinking. Are you still there, all of you? Or am I talking to nothing?
We're here.
Oh, you're here. Okay. Yeah. I suddenly realized, so maybe we've got cut off, and I'm talking into space. That's okay.
We're enjoying you. Thank you.
I mean, I've just got pictures of things we funded in Uganda, in Ethiopia, in, what's happening about Nairobi, a lot, obviously, in Nigeria. Where else was it? Tanzania. And the number of people he influenced who are still really supportive of what he did. He was a very, very powerful voice for the free society. And the thing he started was this essay competition. And I didn't know how many years it went on for. I mean, I could check back. I just had so much stuff. I didn't know where to start. And NFS funded it for, 5 years, I should think. And then we ran out of funding for it, and I got funding from the Rising Tide Foundation for it for the last year. And the last year, I think we had 800 essays, and quite a lot of the people in the early years of the essay competition, and they went on to SciParla. And I think that Olamayova was one of them. Alex Nigeru was one of them. There were quite a few who came that route, and through Adedayo. The younger people who followed along, and who I think really a large number of them were originally influenced by him, and because the fact he took the CDs out, he just reached a lot of people. And I mean, I've just got dozens of pictures and stuff about this period. And in the where I've written, I mean, one of the things from Adedayo, I'm currently in Harare. I met Rejoice. Rejoice was at the MPS meeting in 2007. I met him there. He was sent there by the Friedrich Neumann Foundation, and they have been and another enormous force for spreading these ideas, for funding events. They absolutely shouldn't be left out of it. But in this email, dear Linda, I'm currently in Harare. I met Rejoice, Taney and others. I don't know who Taney was. To netmark me with the universities, I presented an hour lecture on economic and globalization using the CD&I pencil. And then he was doing things in Zimbabwe. And then he's talking about the essay competition. I mean, he was just a bundle of energy getting these ideas out in those years. One of the people that he influenced, Mugabe Socrates, I'm sure you must know him, doing a great job now in Uganda. He's absolutely got classical liberalism in his DNA. He totally understands. And I mean, his program, he's asked to speak all the time. He's running events and speaking. I don't know how many Ugandans he comes across. I mean, he does it from quite young in school, right the way through up to businessmen. He's certainly someone at the moment. I don't know how many CDs he's had. He's probably had 4,000 or 5,000 CDs. I think he's about to run out again. Rejoice, of course, we've already mentioned. And again, I mean, he slightly does his own thing, but we funded him to take the CDs and books to the Harare Book Fair. And he's run different programs. And still, I think last year we funded something for Evans in Tanzania, and Rejoice was one of the speakers, and American professor friend of mine was out there, and he said he thought Rejoice was really, really sound. Peter Bismarck went to an event run by Kofi Akosa, who had got the CDs at the Mont Pèlerin meeting in 2007, and he ran events with them. And Peter Bismarck was sort of depressed at the lack of opportunity. He was a teacher. You probably know him. In Ghana, and he went to the meeting and he got the CD, and he said after he'd worked out that you didn't listen to it, you read it three times or something, and then he promised himself he was going to get that CD to as many people as he could, many young Africans as he could. And now he runs ILAPI, and he runs events for journalists to so they can learn more about free societies and the role of a journalist in a free society. Evans Exode, I don't quite know how I met him, actually. He must have been at an event I went to through Students for Liberty. And of course, I mean, when I first met Mugabe, he was just getting into Students for Liberty. Students for Liberty, and when you don't have to tell you, is another enormously important piece in this jigsaw. And I think really good news, because they just keep on bringing up new generations, which is really, really exciting. And Evans has got going, what's his thing called? Liberty Sparks. And we fund him now. And he is meeting really a large number of young people. A couple of years ago, they ran a debate contest really all over Tanzania. They're working with students, they're increasingly working online and working with businessmen. It's just really exciting that so many of these younger people are getting some traction, and I think helping get going with Students for Liberty, Friedrich Neumann Foundation, Atlas, there's more people to support them. And I see that sort of generation. And then I'm getting things slightly out of order here. I mean, Aimarb is just quite extraordinary. He got in touch with me probably 5 years ago. He'd been to the Linda Kavuka had got him to an event in SFL event in Nairobi, and he got a copy of the CD in French, and that was the first time he'd been able to read a lot of these texts, and he was really excited about it. And we had a lot of trouble getting him more copies for him to be able to copy them. And since then, I don't know how many he's had. I don't know if I put a figure in here, but I mean, he must have distributed over 10,000 of the CDs. And when people distribute the CDs, they nearly, the idea is that they give them out when people are at a meeting, when they can have somebody like Adedayo or Aimarb explain them and get excited. I don't know how it was when you got your first one, but I'm sure you were at an event, and hopefully somebody did more than just hand it to you, so you had some idea of what was going to be in it. And Aimarb is spectacularly hardworking and innovative. And of course, in countries where we'd never dreamt of going before, Burundi, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Rwanda, has been hugely successful in getting, first of all, Students for Liberty going, and then passing that on. I mean, his great genius is in organizing things and then growing other people to take them over. He's not at all defensive or wanting to hold on to all of the power. So he got other young people to do the Students for Liberty. And now, I mean, just very impressively, three separate think tanks. I mean, just extraordinary. Most people cannot raise money. I know it's really difficult outside Africa, really difficult, in much more difficult inside Africa. But I mean, Aimarb has managed to really get a large amount of resources and to get going in a really poor country. And then I was particularly impressed because when they got to the final of the Templeton Award this year, and they only got a $20,000 prize. And what does he use it for? He gives $2,000 each to new organizations started by people who were Students for Liberty and now starting a think tank in Rwanda and in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And when you see him having started an organization 4 or 5 years ago, being successful enough to be able to mentor and start other organizations and support them financially, you just think some people are amazing. And a book that I'm particularly keen on and that he's particularly keen on, Foundations of a Free Society, which I, about, when did I do that? 10, 14, I don't quite know which year it was. But anyway, 1 year I thought, where is the book that young Africans can immediately understand that explain all these things? Because there were lots of books we had on the first CD, but and on the second CD, but there wasn't a book like this. And none of the people I spoke to actually could produce it. People said, oh, the Constitution of Liberty. And I thought, no, that's not where you start young people on. And so I said to Eamon, I said to the IEA, what do I have to raise for you to publish that book? And they said $12,000. And Eamon wrote the book. Eamon is absolutely wonderful. Not that he's been much in Africa, but if anybody has helped the growth of classical liberalism in Africa, it's the sort of books that he's written. And I mean, Foundations of a Free Society has now been translated, I think, into 34 languages. It's in Swahili, it's in French, it's in Arabic. It's in whatever the language is in Malawi, Chichuva, I think. Not been published in that yet. And it's something which resonates with everyone. And Aimarb said to me one day, the reason I can go on the radio and be confident is I've read the book so often.
Dearly missed all over, but the good thing is she's going to live in our hearts forever. Rest in peace, Linda.
We shall surely miss her dearly.
We miss you, Linda, but rest assured that we will never forget you. I love you, I love you, love you. And you will live in my heart for as long as I live. Thank you for everything. Rest in perfect peace. Love you.
We will surely miss her, and her legacies and her works in Africa will live on through the rest of us.
We would all miss her very, very much. Don't even know what to do. Our team is so grateful. We will do everything to continue her legacy. Rest well, Linda.
She will be greatly missed. It's sad to, you know, to hear of her passing. May her soul rest in peace.
It is a privilege to have been opportune to meet her and to interview her during her time on Earth. Her memories and impact will continue to stay with us and to guide us in the work for liberty. My wishes for Linda is that she awakens to joyful experiences in the world beyond.